Welcome to the Zinta Board Community Services and Safety Committee. My name is Jovita McConnell. I am the chair, and in the room with me is Council Member Quinn. And on the phone is Council Member Hedrick. Today is Monday, October 14th, 2024, 5:30 p.m. We have four items on the business agenda. And the first one is the contract for 2025-2026 prosecution services, and then we have public defense services and city attorney services. All three will be presented by Marty Weinsel.
Oh, well, we have another presentation over to Cheryl Thompson.
Okay.
Thank you, Cheryl Thompson, executive coordinator in the mayor's office. I oversee the prosecution contract, so we'll talk about that one first. Bringing the 25-26 contract before you for authorization to move forward to the consent agenda. It continues prosecution services with our current provider, Karen Lentz. Karen has taken our prosecution program to a different level than what we had with our previous prosecuting attorney. We're very glad to have her on board. The proposed contract, provides an increase in her monthly compensation by approximately 3.2% each calendar year to cover inflationary costs. She is a sole proprietor, and so it's important to try and keep her her compensation up so we can keep her with us.
So are there any questions? So I'm going to pass it over to Council Member Quinn.
Yeah, my only question was 3.2% increase, which you explained, and maybe if you can go a little bit deeper in how these services are better than
the previous
and or why should we specifically, I mean, I like the scope of services, but what is it about the person that provides this contract?
Karen is much more engaged with our police department in providing services. She's making connections. Officers are feeling comfortable coming to her with questions where that was not the case previously. She also comes up with creative solutions to try and help people resolve situations. And so she's made some interesting settlement agreements with defendants that are setting them up for success that are just more creative than what you might standard see. She's very passionate about helping people succeed, yet holding them accountable. So, like I said, she's been a fabulous addition to our program. And I know that Deputy Chief Lund would echo that.
Thank you. Councilmember Hedrick, do you have any questions?
Great.
All right.
I do not have any questions. I was lucky to be in the same group as Karen on National Night Out, so I got to spend a lot of time with her. And
she
unmuted.
Can you hear me now? No? Hold, please.
I see you trying. Okay. Can you join? Give it a second to have her back on before I... This is a good scope of work that you provide in here.
Can you hear me now?
Councilmember Hedrick. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
You said hello earlier.
Yeah. All right. So I don't really have any questions. I feel like this was a good scope of work that you have here. She's been here for a couple of years, right? So.
And we did a request for proposals beforehand, and she was the only attorney besides the existing firm that submitted. So
I'm good with, I'm in favor of passing this soon, sending this to a consent agenda.
She says she has, I apologize. She let me know she has no questions.
Okay. And is she okay with passing, sending this to the consent agenda? Would probably put it in chat.
She's in favor of this.
Okay, that's good. All right, thank you. The next one, the Public Defense Services.
And again, with our Public Defense Services, the proposed contract is in alignment with our budget cycle. Kirsten Bowman-Goss has been our public defender for quite some time. We did do a request for proposal at the same time or a couple years ago, and they were the only applicant. They provide good services and work in conjunction with our prosecuting attorney, trying to set people up for success. We are mandated to provide public defense services, and we are mandated to provide them at a certain level. So looking at caseloads, and there has been an increase in caseloads this previous budget cycle, the proposal is to increase their compensation to $32,600 a month, with $2,000 of that being paid from grant funds. We have a different grant that pays them specifically for drug possession cases by case. This is in alignment with their caseload is currently mirroring what we had in 2018. So it's bringing the compensation rate back up to what it was in 2018. That's without taking any addition for inflationary costs, but because it was such a bump that they were in agreement with that. So that's what the proposal is. There is also another issue with regard to the standards for public defense that we put in here. And the State Bar Association is trying to, they brought forth recommendations to the Supreme Court to change those public defense standards even more extremely. If they were successful, we would have to hire three times the number of attorneys that we currently have handling the caseload. We would also have to hire an additional investigator full-time. So we would have to have two full-time investigators. We would have to have two full-time social services liaisons. At this time, we don't use an investigator or social service liaison in a full-time capacity. We have them on contract and use them as needed. So those would have significant budget impacts. Our public defense firm is not in support of the standards as proposed because they know that would just be impossible to practice with those reduced caseload numbers. So the state Supreme Court is accepting comment letters from jurisdictions. And so we have drafted a comment letter and are asking if there's council consensus to sign on with the mayor to that letter. So those are the two matters before you on public defense.
So let's see, Council Member Hendrick, are you able to talk?
Can you hear me now? No? Still? Really?
Okay. I'm going to pass it over to Council Member Quinn. Send any questions, maybe?
She doesn't understand why she can't connect. Why don't you proceed and I'll continue to work.
I don't have any questions. I'm aware of the Bar Association. I mean, I don't know that there is, I don't even think it's even sustainable for any jurisdiction. I know that SCA has written a letter. So, you know, for me personally, I'm comfortable, and I'm also comfortable with contract public defense services to go off the consent agenda.
Thank you. And I am as well.
And Councilmember Hedrick indicated she has she supports this with no questions.
I am as well. Move it through and support it. And the mayor, a letter that we need to also have a consensus at. Okay.
Yeah, so as part of the motion for the consent agenda, the letter will be part of that.
Okay.
How do we make sure that the rest of council is aware of it, that that's not as hard as they want?
The letter will be in the packet for them, just like another consent agenda item.
Okay. I would prefer either an email or something.
Would you like me to send a separate email?
Welcome to the audio conferencing center. Please enter a conference ID.
So I think we're all in favor. The consent agenda.
You are now joining the meeting.
And so, okay, the last item is city attorney services.
And again, this is proposed contract for 25-26. The proposed contract includes a 4% increase in 2025 and an additional 5% increase in 2026. We are currently, it is a flat monthly rate, and the city attorney's office has tracks what the services they provide and then subtract from our monthly rate. And we have significantly or consistently been utilizing them at higher than the flat monthly rate. So this brings us a little bit more in alignment with that. We are also working with them to make sure that we manage the time so that they're getting the work done and that it's a balanced equation for both the city and the firm.
I'm comfortable moving this forward, and to that point, though, I think as we progress in this contract, this has always been an issue for the city attorney, even as long as I've been on this council. We've always underestimated and gone over. So, and I think going back to the original our response to and competition for services, I think that our current city attorney services said that they would give us a greater sense of what is an average usage and continue to be to go over. So that's something I continue to watch. Again, saying even going back to 2008, we've had this issue. So as we go forward, let's figure out what we can do, or it might be municipal governments again has need for city attorney services at a higher level. But I'm comfortable moving this forward to the agenda.
Okay. And Councilmember Hedrick, you can give us a chat text. Thumbs up.
Hello?
She's joined by phone, and I gave her access to mic.
Can you hear me? No?
I see you're trying to talk. I don't hear you.
She's in favor. Mm-hmm. And is there a volume I'm missing somewhere?
So the question I think is, how much over do we usually go with
we're not paying additional funds, but what they do is they show us what their hourly rates would be, and then, okay, the services we provided would have been the equivalent of $41,000, and we're paying a flat fee of $35,000. So they're writing off the difference between that, and more of a consistency with that this last year. And so that's why they've come and made the proposal that we did. Marty and I talked with the city attorney, kind of made some counter proposals back and forth, and this is kind of where we landed.
Right. Well, I'm in favor of also moving us to the consent agenda. And
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Hello.
Oh, my goodness. I am so sorry. I tried two computers, the Teams phone app, and now I'm calling in. So I do not know what was happening. I am in favor. Councilmember Quinn, thank you. I echo your thoughts on making sure that we're truing up these numbers moving forward as best as we can. And then just hopping back to the other one, since you guys couldn't hear me, I'm in favor of the prosecuting attorney. I was lucky enough to go around with her on National Night Out, so got to spend some quality time discussing her philosophy, and I'm happy to see her continue with the city. And I think we're all cut up. I'm also in favor of moving forward with the letter from council and the mayor.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, all three. Presented tonight, we're in favor of moving forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right. Next is the Police Department 2024 third quarter report out. And Eric Lund, Chief Eric Lund.
All right. Yes. So this is the third quarter.
I'm sorry.
Hello. Eric Lund, Deputy Chief.
Deputy.
Yes. Third quarter info brief for the CSS committee. So we'll go over some highlights of our staffing. So you can, let me try to make that. Can you guys see that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So third quarter, we hired 4 entry-level officers. From left to right, Sky Yarnon, Jose Chavez, Leomara Barker, and Marissa Elkinson. Yarnon and Chavez are already in the academy, and Barker and Elkinson start next week. Still have a few. We have one more person in background, but as of the end of third quarter, we had 61 out of 77 available for full duty. So we've been in the 50s for a long time. Being over 60 is really good. This takes into account people who are on light duty, who are still in field training, who are still in the academy, or are still waiting to be hired. So that's a good number. And then on the non-commissioned side, no hires for third quarter, but we're going to have 2 fourth quarter. 19 out of 22 non-commissioned available for full duty. For recognition, the employees of the quarter, first is Stephanie Myers. So in 12 months, and she's our public records request specialist. So that's all she does is public records requests. So in 12 months, she reduced closures of records on an average from 11 days to 7 days, which is pretty significant. Pending requests reduced from around 200 to 65 on average. That's a daily average. So that's pretty incredible. So she was recognized for her efforts. And I think one of the other stats in the notes was in the third quarter, she processed over 600 records requests on her own and closed them out. So, and then K-9 officer Josh Vivette, he was recognized for his leadership and experience and his commitment and dedication to learning. It was a really long write-up, but basically he was a patrol sergeant and his lifelong dream was to be a K-9 officer. He voluntarily took a demotion to become a K-9 officer, but he was a very good sergeant as well. So he's still, that sergeant has somebody who's done the job before and is able to help him out and provide that type of leadership. So very high on training, does everything he can to be the best that they can be. They've had a lot of apprehensions, which is really good. Josh Vivette was also given a Distinguished Service Medal for 20 years of service. And then moving on to the life-saving medals, Officer Dustin Johnson and Officer Elias Hyatt both responded to a call of a welfare check. And we get these calls all the time. but it was a welfare check. Can you guys go check on, can you officers go check on this person? Something's not right with him. They got there, wasn't breathing, no pulse, and he was turning blue. So they immediately started CPR for about 3 minutes before the fire department arrived, and they administered Narcan and got his pulse back. And then the fire department took over, and he was able to be transported to the hospital. So this was a late at night call. Thank God the person who saw this person called. Otherwise, it probably wouldn't have been a favorable outcome. So they both got recognized for a life-saving achievement. Moving on to our community engagement, homeless camp response, a couple things to note. Most of us should know where the old Barnaby's property is, but if you don't, it's at the corner of Strander and West Valley Highway. It's torn down, but there's still an encampment there. Oh, what happened?
No, you're still on.
Okay.
Screen, sorry.
So, King County owns that property now, so they devised a plan to work with them to get that cleaned up. And then there was a major encampment cleanup at the West Valley Highway pedestrian bridge. Oh.
It's a flood district balance.
I think so.
Which is separate.
Okay.
But specific, and the reason why I say that is specifically because of the river and whatever they're going to do related to flood protection.
Yeah. And then the West Valley Highway pedestrian bridge, that was a pretty major encampment under that. Took 2 days to clean that space up. The one that goes between West Valley Highway and Christensen Road.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a lot of thank yous from people who work in the Christensen Road office complex. Mm-hmm. They've been experiencing a lot of problems related to that encampment. Riverton Park Church, ongoing meetings with that. We attended Cop Cab, Tieback, Theft Third Diversion meetings, weekly meetings with the Vibrant Communities Initiative. And real quick, that's a pilot project by the Retail Industry Leaders Association. They did it in King County and in Yolo County. They're trying to come up with improvements to investigating organized retail theft and information sharing between private and public. It's been really good. A lot of meetings with Tuckwell School District, and as you guys probably know, the SROs are back at Showalter and Foster, so that's been a long time coming. Our SEU group, Special Emphasis Unit, and our community engagement coordinator met with Peaks Condos HOA Board. That's about the 15300 block in the Cadham Road. They had some concerns, and we went and talked to them about safety planning, make them feel a little bit more secure in their building. Brooke, our community engagement coordinator, also did a SEPTED review, and that's crime prevention through environmental design. So at Target, Tuckwell Pond Park, and then the business for the retail complex just east of Target, a lot of trash, debris, there's a lot of problems down there. So they're working on a plan to try to help clean that up and move people along. So they offered services to everybody they contacted, and nobody took them up on that. Chief Driever met with King County Library Management. They wanted to talk about working together to help serve the community better. Community events, Touch a Truck at the Mall, that was in July, was well attended. National Night Out, again, was well attended. You were there for some of it. Great turnout this year. And then before school started, our Special Emphasis Unit detectives met or partnered with Salvation Army and Old Navy for a back-to-school shopping event. They helped 24 students in our district, and they would be mad for me for telling you guys this, but some of them spent their own money to help get kids a little bit of extra clothing for the year. I don't know who it was, and they'll never say that they did it, but a lot of officers do that. And then a new event, Tuckwell Elementary PTA, they have something they call Cop Corn Friday. So significant operations and events, regional partnerships, so Valley Chief's Executive Board meeting, so he meets with VNET, SWAT, VIIT, PSAT, and SCORE. If you need help with those acronyms, let me know. No? Good? Okay. regional organized retail theft meetings. This is I'm on the board for the Washington Organized Retail Crime Association. So we have monthly meetings. We switch between Bellevue and South Center every month. And that's meeting with retailers and other law enforcement agencies, share information, come up with ideas. VIT, our officer-involved shooting team, responded to an OIS, officer-involved shooting in Kent, August 28th. And then our evidence staff, we have two evidence technicians. They hosted other agency staff, provided training, gave tours of our facility. So other agencies came to our police department and had some pretty good hands-on training. The chief held a town hall meeting, discussed staffing, specialty assignments, pursuit policy, talked a little bit about the budget, and we presented those awards that we talked about. And then we like to give you guys flock quarterly stats. So hot list hits for July, there were 1,774. August, there are 1,510. In September, 1,489. And that's every time a stolen vehicle, stolen license plate, somebody wanted for something, missing person, sex offender, whatever, that's a hit. We recovered, because of flock, we recovered 16 stolen vehicles in the quarter. No guns this quarter. There were three cases that involved possession of narcotics. So there were meth, heroin, and fentanyl. And there were four arrests made. And then our public disclosure request stats. Again, 1,128 records requested, and then 1,062 were processed and closed. I'm not good at math, but that's a lot. Here's our bar chart that we usually give. This is a 20-year range, so the bars are a 23-year range now. As you can see, our calls for service are right about on average for September or for the quarter. Trended a little lower in August, but September right in the middle. And then our case reports, they've been on the low end. So a case report is any time that we have to document that a crime occurred. For some reason, they've been trending lower. So we get a lot of calls for assistance, not necessarily criminal type calls. So you can see we're below, well below our 20-year range in September. And that includes in-person and online case reports. There's what our crime analysts discovered is that third quarter still lower than expected, primarily due to decreases in theft from vehicle, auto theft, and commercial burglary cases. So to me, that's good. Those types of crimes are very hard on people that are victims of it. And so it's good that they're down. That's it on that. Any questions?
Councilmember Hedrick.
All right. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can hear you.
Perfect. I don't have any questions. I've said it before, and I'm sure I'll say it again, but I really appreciate the community engagement that TPD does and making sure that you're visible and approachable in the community. That's all. Thank you for the updated statistics. It seems like this quarter is relatively similar as far as numbers go to previous quarters.
Thank you. Councilor
Quinn. Yeah, I had a question and a comment. My first question is maybe at the annual review, kind of listing all the community organizations or individuals that we met with, and part of the reason why is just I'm assuming we have a rolling list. It just depends on if they fall within the quarterly report, right? Because some of this is standard and some of these are relationships built from previous interactions. So be curious maybe at the end of the year what that list looks like. My comment, and maybe something for you to think about, and I just appreciate you saying that we have officers that use their own money, and I'm sure it's not the first time, it won't be the last time, but it's sure a different message for those that want to talk about officers that don't live here.
Yes.
There's a commitment displayed by doing that activity, and I think it shows a level of commitment to the community that they're serving. The other thing I thought was interesting is that you talked about the regional organized retail theft, and then the, I think you had talked about it in community engagement. A part of it is also getting the message out about innovation, like knowing that the standard practices, whether it be what the private entities do or the police departments do, we have to change it because these organized groups are finding loopholes in the process. So I'm hoping maybe that we would emphasize that, because I think that has changed since, it's probably always happening, but I think it's changed. It probably changes all the time, but in particular, I just remember when COVID hit, you know, there were people who made an investment, like, in this strategy. A strategy should simultaneously impact businesses, and they know that the police department couldn't respond, and if they did, they would want to reduce the amount of violence in the situation. So, and same is true for death prevention. Like, at the end of the day, like, financially it causes an impact. So, it might be helpful to talk about it as an innovative approach, so that even the general public just understands, look, like, this, these are the tactics, and every time they change tactics, we have to make adjustments so we can address it, because otherwise it's going to become a significant problem. So I just think there's an opportunity to tell a story about innovation.
Well, yeah, one, this pilot project with the Vibrant Communities mm-hmm. Initiative, we didn't know what we were going to end up with once we started this last year. And now that we've gone through this almost 12 months, we've, info sharing is probably the number one.
Sure.
It's the most important, and it's also the information is the most held back from private companies.
Right.
There's a lot of companies who don't want to share with police automatically.
Right.
But what we've come up with, there's an online platform that it might be a workaround, but it's working, where companies can post. It's almost like social media. It's called Aura. And they post pictures and events and case numbers, and they can, it's intended to share with other retailers, so they can say, look out for this person, or, and you can kind of compile cases, and they're starting to slowly share that information with us. My detectives right now are working a pretty big case, where they're, I don't want to go into the details on this too much, but we'll report out on that once it's completed. A lot of time and effort went into that, a lot of dollar amount loss for local retailers. So right now, there's a lot more work than there are people to investigate it. So, but yeah, I can, we have some events planned, some public events planned for emphasis on retail shoplifting through the rest of the year. So we can definitely be more public about that.
Yeah, and the stats part shows crime is down, auto theft is down. And it's not that it just magically disappeared. There were investments made, probably information done, and then maybe the reality is you're not as able to do auto theft without any issues, because now you have the database that we have utilized. So it's an opportunity to bolster the tools that we have and how we've chosen to use them. So.
But you guys have allowed us to really invest in a lot of technology that we haven't had in the last, well, my whole career before this, and I think it's making a huge difference.
So I do appreciate public community engagement. You guys seem to be out there doing quite a bit. So I appreciate that. I love all the stuff that you guys do. And I do also appreciate these cases are going down, because at the beginning of the year, I was a little nervous. You know, we kind of started off kind of a little bit crazy. But so I'm glad to see those are going down as well. I do have one question, though. Public disclosure requests, did those numbers go up?
I don't have a solid answer for you. I think that's pretty standard, which is why we wanted a specialist to be full-time on that. Mm-hmm. And so that was a position we added last budget cycle.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, everybody in our support ops or record staff works on public records requests.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephanie, that's her focus.
And I'm glad, because we hired someone this year for helping with the public disclosure request that we get, you know, that you get. So It seems like a friend of a lot of people.
The most time-consuming part is video redaction. So people want body camera or car camera footage, and we're legally required to redact a lot of information from those, and you have to watch it. The whole, so if it's a three-hour video, guess how much time you're spending on it?
Mm-hmm.
At least 3 hours. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that none of the information is getting out that's not allowed, and then also the audio. So
it's a good investment to have somebody hired in regardless of police.
Yes, because otherwise there's penalties.
Right, absolutely. Okay. Well, I don't have anything else.
All
right. Thank you so much for presenting. Appreciate it. Is there any miscellaneous? Mm-hmm. And then our next meeting is scheduled for December 9th. Seems that a far long way away.
Okay. There's a holiday in November.
Okay. All right. So we will go ahead and adjourn.
Okay.